If you have personally seen or experienced or watched God break chains, could you put your hands up in the air right now and just praise Him? I've seen it. I can praise God for all the times I've seen Him just transform lives by the power of His name, by His love, by His forgiveness, by His grace and mercy, by miracles. God, You're a chain breaker. Oh, I lift You up. God, hear our praise. Thank You, God, for all You've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, I feel faith in this place. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce my pastor who's going to be preaching for us today, Pastor Anthony Harper over at Life Pentecostals. And he has been on and off at different seasons of my life, my pastor now for over 10 years. And that makes me feel older than I want to feel. But I'm incredibly thankful for that, and I'm thankful that he's here today. And I want him, he's my pastor, their church, we're a daughter work out of Life Pentecostals. And he and Sister Christy have spoken into our lives, Kendra and I's lives. We're so thankful for them. And I want them to be a regular, I need them to be a regular voice in this church. And so he gave me the option today to not have him preach, and instead offered to give us a prepaid evangelist. We got like a evangelist gift card. I've never had one of those before, but I was handed a possible evangelist gift card today, and I said, no, I need you. That would be great. I need you. You're the one I want. So that's neat. Nobody's ever said that to me before. So here, how's that for an intro? I choose you. I want you. I want to hear from my pastor today. So Pastor Harper, please come and talk to us. Share the word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What a privilege it is. Isn't God cool? I know that's not very homiletically, hermeneutically profound, but isn't God cool? Isn't He something? Amen. There's nobody like Him. He's the best. He is the best. And we get to be on His team. Amen.
Amen.
I honored, obviously honored. Are we a month and a week old? Month and 2 weeks old?
Seventh
service. So we're pushing 2 months. We're pushing 2 months. Amen. My kids, I've raised three from infanthood, and I look back at those days with fond memories. But I'm so glad that they're still not infants. Been a rough 18 years if they were still infants. It would be miserable if they were still infants. But oh, how I cherish looking back at that time. You know, when you're a baby, everybody wants to see your pictures. And so you get a 1 month picture, and you get a 2 month picture, and you get a 3 month picture. And somewhere, mom and dad are still putting pictures on Facebook, and somewhere, at some point, nobody cares. It would be awkward if they continued to do that every month into your teens through adolescence. This is Jimmy. He got acne this week. We're so proud and happy. This is an infant church. And it's a really neat thing to be where you're at. Do not despise your small beginnings. The Word of God says, do not despise your small beginnings. You will look back longingly at this time. But it is not God's will for this church to stay and remain an infant. It is God's will that you grow. It is God's will that you walk. It is God's will that you eat something other than milk. It is God's will that you run. It is God's will that you do exploits. Amen? And I get to be a part of it. And you know, when you take those pictures of your babies, you take those pictures at the very best moments. There's pictures you could have taken that you don't take. Because everything about being an infant isn't beautiful. Matter of fact, I would say that there are fewer moments that you can take a good picture with an infant than moments that you don't want anybody else to see. Because you don't want anybody to think your kid is that kid. You know what? There's going to be more moments that you look and say, man, I don't want anybody to know that my church is that church. But look for the moments you can take a picture and say, you know what? I wouldn't trade this church for any other church. Amen? Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing in South Lyon. I believe this is the beginning of something grand. Amen. It is the beginning of something grand. Amen. If you have your Bible, I don't know how I'm going to do this today. Pastor Scott has talked a lot about being a pastor and it being new and kind of a new role. It feels different. This is the first time I've been the pastor of a pastor, and so it's unique. Some people refer to that as a bishop. A bishop, the word actually means an overseer. I guess it would apply. I don't feel old enough to be a bishop. In today's vernacular, that seems like those are the old guys. And we drove by my wife's high school on the way here, and I said, do you remember all the old people at your graduation? And she said, I know, that's us now. I said, you're right, that's us now. And I just have to be me, but I want you to know that I'm here every step of the way. And it's kind of like a grandparent. I get to, you know, deal with you guys at your best moments, your big services and your grant, and then I get to give you over to the lens and say, okay, take them home and change them and feed them and do all that stuff. See, it's a good deal. It's a good gig if you can get it. But it's cool to be a part of this, and I'm excited for what God's going to do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to let you be seated. And I'm going to still ramble for a few minutes. But 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse. I'm reading out of the NIV. It gives me a little bit, I usually don't, but it gives me more of an explicit connection with the title of this message. It's a really powerful two verses that we're going to read here. And I want you just to kind of catch it and let it sink in. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. He's a church. They're believers. They're a new church, and they're kind of just getting started. And Paul is talking to them, and he says, this then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Anybody like a good conspiracy theory? Some too much, some not enough. Servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed. That's a big deal. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Amen. Lord, help us today. Help us, Jesus. Help us to pull something out of this that's going to help us in these early stages of development, God, that we're going to connect with something. And it's going to become who we are. It's going to become an identity part of us. God, there's many, many, many sermons that are going to be preached. Let this one be significant. Let this one resonate. Let this one be a stepping stone for us today. In Jesus' name. Somebody invoke the name right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him some praise one more time before you're seated? Can we put our hands together, not as ritual and not as going through the motions of what Pastor is saying today, but as an applause to the King of Kings.
Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to attempt to just ask a question today. Are you feeling super? Are you feeling super? God has been doing something in me personally, and I have to allow that to be part of who I am and who I'm ministering and what I'm ministering about. But in the last few months, God has been dealing with me quite a bit about my perception of the kingdom of God, my connection to the kingdom of God. I have been in church. I've not been a good Christian the whole time, but I've been in some sort of church and faith since I was a child. I've never really strayed away from God. I've never really, now I've done stupid things, and I haven't invited him to certain things, but he's always been there. There's never been an absolute disconnect of no intention to have God involved with my life. So I've done this for a long time, and I've observed for a long time. A lot of my ministry comes from observation. It comes from looking at others that have tried to do something for God, some that have been extremely successful, and some that have failed trying to do something for God. And so in the last few months, God has been dealing with me about what makes the difference, what makes one successful, and what makes another fail. What some are successful from a worldly perspective. Even in ministry, even as a Christian, they are a successful Christian from a worldly perspective. But they are not a successful Christian from a kingdom perspective. The Bible says that a deacon, if he does not have an ability to have order in his own house, how can he order God's house? And that is not a condemning thing. That is just a way of saying success is different when viewed through the eyes of God and when viewed through the eyes of man. We would look at a successful Christian as someone who's got a really good job, loves God, and we see their life being blessed. There's a lot of talk about the blessings of God. When the Bible, and I don't want to bounce all over the place, but when the Bible talks about rich, very rarely is it talking about financially rich. It's talking about the blessings, the rich blessings of God. Usually has to do with wife, children, family, legacy, home. That's usually what the Bible talks about when it talks about being rich. So it's a different. So when God says, give and it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together and running over, we as humans have this immediate, natural leap in our minds. If I give of my finances, then God is going to give back my finances. Heaped up, shaken, pressed down, shaken, running over. And God's saying, I don't want just your finances. I want everything so that I can give back to you everything. See, we're okay with making a deal on the money side because we're in pursuit of natural things. But to make a deal where we are on the all-in side, that's an entirely different deal to us. And so therein lies, in what I feel like God is showing me, the difference in success and unsuccess. I want to pursue the blessings of God in a kingdom perspective, not in a random, look at me, look what God is doing through me perspective. I want to know that he is pleased rather than others are pleased. I want to live my life to an audience of one, as I've heard it preached before. There's one who matters. And so in this, God has been dealing with me of how I perceive my own self. There are some things in my flesh that I feel pretty good about, and I want people to know about me. And I take the good pictures, and I don't take the bad pictures. And I want you to see me as I want you to see me. And there's things that I say, hey, I like this about me. I want everybody to know this about me. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my church. I'm proud of what we're doing here in South Lyon. I can be godly proud of what God is doing in South Lyon. I can also be earthly proud of what God is doing in South Lyon. I want to be godly proud, but I have this earthly part of me that likes to creep in and make it about me.
And so I am trying to catch a hold of who I am in Christ and not catch a hold of who I am in Christ with any arrogance. And it's tricky. It is tricky to do this thing because I am more than a conqueror. We were not intended as Christians to survive. We were intended to thrive. We were intended to do exploits. Do you realize who you are? You are amazing. Brother Scott chose me. But God chose you. And you ought to be regarded as a servant of Christ, one who has been entrusted with the great mysteries of God. That's a big deal. There's an advantage to being an infant church. There's an advantage to being a child. Because children can imagine anything. When you're a kid, you can fly. When you're a kid, you can run faster than a speeding bullet. When you're a kid, you can do just about anything that your mind can wrap its brain around. And you can live in a fantasy world of, I can do anything. You know, when big things happen in the world, and you're just like, oh, no, I got to go home and look at the news because the world's falling apart. And you get home, and your kids could care less. They have no idea the levity and the gravity of what's going on in the world, because all they know is they can fly. All they know is they can get the bad guys. All they know is the exploits that they are capable of because they have been born believing that they can do anything. Now, there is some good and bad that comes with that. There's some, if they're really, really into this, they can get hurt believing that they can fly. Because gravity is real, whether they recognize it or not. And so they can go through things and suffer things at the hand. But there is a greater tragedy, and that is when somebody begins to tell them that they can't fly and that dreams are impossible and that you can't accomplish anything. See, if we're walking in the natural, that seems like the logical thing to do. I don't want my kids jumping off the roof. I want them to understand that it's going to end badly for them. But if we're walking in the kingdom and we're being kingdom-minded, I don't want anybody to tell my kids they can't fly. I don't want anybody to tell my kids that they can't do exploits. I don't want anybody to tell them that they can't, because they are servants of God. And I should revere them as servants of God. And they have been entrusted with something that is powerful. All things are possible through Christ. Doesn't say a few things. It says all things. Turn to your neighbor and say all things. All things are possible through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, he drags us into the equation. And then we say, look what I can do. See, our human and our spirit, man, they just are entwined and braided together, and it's so hard to distinguish one from the other. But I'm going to tell you, it's one of the most valuable things that you can learn. I am learning. I have not learned it yet, but I am in the process. I feel like he's trying to teach me something about myself. I can do anything. And to say that brings a hint and a tint of arrogance to me and to my ministry. But I want to be able to say, I can do anything. And it brings humility to me and to my ministry. Paul said that to aspire to do something great in the kingdom of God is a great thing. It's an amazing thing. But if you go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah declares that to look for great things for yourself, seek it not. Seek them not. So we are to aspire for greatness, but we are not to aspire to greatness for ourselves. And that's where people get off kilter. If this church ever becomes about this church, we've lost our way. But if this church can keep in our minds that we are nothing without him, but with him, we are everything that this community needs. We are. Do you realize how super you are? Do you realize what God has called you to do? We should stand with our shoulders square and our head held high, not because of who we are, but who we are in Christ. We should know that God has given us this city, not because. Anointing is where I'm driving at today. We want anointing. Is this okay? I mean, I know this is not like a big sermon, and I'm just talking, but I want us to catch some things today. Anointing is what we're after, because the anointing will break the yoke of the enemy. Anointing will set the captive free. Anointing will break out revival in this community. That's what we're after. We're after the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the anointing, there is a price. To him that it has been entrusted must be faithful. We've had a theme in Livonia just this year in 2019, and that's this kind. Jesus said this kind comes only through prayer and fasting. There isn't another key. There's not another secret. There's not another golden package that has a super suit in it and you can put it on. It comes through prayer and fasting. That is the manual to the power and the anointing of Almighty God. And we've been praying and fasting, and we've been doing a lot of it. And we did it for 4 straight weeks, intense group, and we have been watching God do exploits. Some of you may know him, some of you may not, but Ed got baptized in the name of Jesus this week. This man is in his 70s, and two and a half years ago, he said, I will never darken the door of a Pentecostal church. His wife was told, you will never darken the door of a Pentecostal church. And Carol comes up with this brilliant idea, because we rent from the Methodist church. She tells her husband, I'm going to the Methodist church for Bible study. And he says, okay, that's fine. And she goes to the Methodist church on our night and goes to Bible study. Sort of. Maybe. But when he found out, he said, I want to go with you. And he started coming. He's dealing with depression. You need to pray for him. God's doing some things in his life. He has PTSD, and there's things going on that he's struggling through. But just this week, he said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to have that assurance in my life. I don't believe that just happened. I believe that was a product of a month of focused prayer and fasting, of faithfulness. We have been entrusted with the power of God, but it is not loosely given. It is not free. And not doing it is problematic to the kingdom of God. Paul said, I know in whom I believe. There's a difference in believing for something. God will do something in faith. God will do an exploit. God will heal somebody because of faith. But there is a difference in having a moment of faith and knowing the one that you believe in. It's a difference in knowing God can do something and knowing God. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. We have got to get past the moment. This world has seen enough of ministries saying, you know, just do this and God's going to do something great. That's not necessarily a falsehood. God operates in moments of faith. He operates in moments of truth. But the reality is, you can come to this altar and have a moment of truth, and God can help you with what you're going through right now. Or you can come to this altar and say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is not a one-time thing, but it is an everyday thing. It is a faithful thing. And you will walk out of here not with your miracle, but with a life of miracles. There is a difference in seeking. The Bible says that that we are not an evil generation seeks a sign. And then at the same time, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. I have always thought that, and I think it's relevant, that the signs are supposed to follow the believers, not the believers follow the signs. But in our human condition, we want to see a sign. We want to see affirmation that God even knows where we're at, that he's even in touch with what's going on in our lives. You've come with a need of a miracle. And God can step in and he can take care of that need. He can write the check today. He can heal your body. You can go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health. He can do the impossible. And that's awesome and that's amazing. But I want to challenge you to ask something greater of God. I want to challenge this church to say we're not satisfied with a moment. We're not satisfied with see, Nineveh needed God before God called Jonah. So the need wasn't what was required. You can drive through the city and say, they need God, they need God, they need God. You get a burden. But if God hasn't called you, good luck. Good luck. But when God says it's time, good luck. If you are committed to him and not to the miracle, good luck getting away from it. Good luck saying somebody's going to have to do something, because God's going to keep saying, yeah, that somebody is you. That responsibility of being entrusted with something falls on you. Why? Because you've stepped into a relationship with God. You've stepped into an encounter that is more than just a moment, that is more than just a feeling. It is something above and beyond. We are who we are. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed, even though this world would love to shame us. The Bible says those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake shall inherit the earth. There is something about I'm all over the board, but I want you to catch something. I want you to grab this. Henrietta's got it. Everybody get on board with her, man. Everybody get on board with her. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 establishes who we are. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says there is an evidence of who we are. That evidence is not the blind seeing, the lame walking, and the dumb talking. The evidence is faithfulness. The evidence is people that are committed to the kingdom of God. The evidence are people that can look at in the face of tragedy and distractions, our own flesh, the enemy fighting us, the enemy attacking our families, the enemy doing something in our home or in somebody else's home, and they can look that in the eye and say, I'm a child of God and I have authority. I'm not going to quit praying. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I don't see. You are super. Anybody ever want to be a superhero? Nobody? Yeah. What'd you say? Just through Christ? You never wanted to strap on the bracelets and fight crime and make, man, somebody must have just taken your childhood and convinced you. God's in the business of making superheroes. Let's read do you know that there's no stories in your Bible that don't encounter a supernatural act of God? From the Garden of Eden, which was a supernatural place, to Revelations, sky cracking open, and a white horse, and a pretty cool army coming out of it. Everything in between is supernatural. The only thing worth writing about is the supernatural. Samson had days when nothing happened. But the only time we read about him is when something supernatural happens. The only time we read about David is when something supernatural happens. Sometimes good supernatural, sometimes bad supernatural. But the everyday things we don't read about. The only things that are going to be significant in this church are the supernatural things of God. It is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that defines us. It is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's going to impact this community. We can look good. We can have the best equipment. We can move into the best facility. And if we don't have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we are not effectively reaching this community, because the only things that matter is when we operate and we traffic in the supernatural. When God is doing exploits through people just like you. When God is doing miracles through people that he really shouldn't be doing miracles through. I'm going to tell you a secret about how I think about Samson. Most people, thanks to Hollywood and the best the people who do pictures and books. Illustrators, thank you. Has anybody ever seen Samson not buff? Samson's buff. Samson, I don't believe he was. Bible says he was amazing. It was an amazing thing. God granted him strength, not buffness. I don't believe he had to pick up a weight to be strong. I don't believe, you say, oh, I don't know, I've been taught something different. You know what? David was a little boy. Find me a place in Scripture where God does something supernatural through the person he was supposed to do it through. He doesn't do it. Saul was the one that was supposed to be the great king. But God chose the boy to be the great king. That Samson operates in the supernatural. Samson's, it was awesome because, not because he defeated an army, but because he looked like you and me and defeated an army. There's something unique about this, and I'll use this to kind of head towards the descent. Brother Zach is here visiting us. Because he likes me, and he likes to be around me, and but he's told me I can only preach so long. He's set that standard for me, so I'm on the clock, and I understand that. But I want to leave you with just an understanding of what it means to be super. Samson's, what an amazing thing. If this isn't super, I mean, this is a movie. A voice comes out of the sky and declares, Samson, you're going to be special. I'm going to use you. You're going to have great strength. All you have to do is follow a couple rules, and you're going to become this great man, this great warrior that does all of these great things. It literally happened kind of like that, sort of, maybe a little bit. That's movie stuff. That's not. Samson's got strength. Samson's super powerful. Joseph wakes up one day and realizes he just had a dream, and he knows what the dream was about. I can't even hardly remember the dream. Joseph remembers it vividly and knows what it's about. And then one day somebody else has a dream and he realizes, I know what that dream's about. That's a gift from God. Solomon has a conversation with God. God says, what do you want? He says, I want to be wise. God says, man, you haven't asked for to be wealthy. I'm going to make you wealthy and wise. Solomon's wealth was divinely imparted from God. The queen of Africa came to see Solomon and his temple and all of his wonderful things because God had said he's going to be rich. Divinely imparted. Samson forgot and got distracted. Just because God anoints you with something doesn't mean you're something special. Samson got distracted by a cute little number from Philistia. He got distracted by her. And without going into the whole story, eventually she wore him down to the point where he convinced himself that the gift he had from God was worth risking for the pursuit of something very earthly and very worldly. Don't ever lose sight of where your power comes from. Samson was convinced that he could live a normal life after being exposed to the supernatural power of God. And he could not have been more wrong. There was no normal to go back to. He didn't go back to normal. His eyes were gouged out. And he found himself pushing a mill in a circle. Don't ever think that once you are exposed to the kingdom of God and to the supernatural power of God, that you can ever go back to normal. That you can ever go back and it be the way that it was. It's a high price. I mean, you come to God. I do. I come to God and I say, God, I've been dealing with this sinus infection and I really want to see the sinus infection go away. I pray for my sinus infection and God has healed me numerous multiple times. But God doesn't always heal me. Matter of fact, I would say the majority of the time, he doesn't heal me. I pray and I say, God, why can't you heal me of the sinus infection? This serves no purpose other than giving me a headache. I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to do things for you. I know other people get sinus infections, but I don't have time for sinus infections. God, heal this sinus infection. And he doesn't do it. There are other times it's much more desperate than that. It's a true, absolute, and I plead and I say, God, do the work. Do this in my life. And he does not do it. I can get frustrated, or I can understand that it's his power, not mine. He works through me, or nothing happens. Could it be that when we pray for something simple, the reason we're denied access to the supernatural is because God is not asking us for a moment in the supernatural, but he's asking us for a life in the supernatural. And he doesn't want to get in the business of meeting you at your moment. He wants to establish a relationship with you that endures through all the regular days that the Bible doesn't write about. See, it was in the regular days the Bible doesn't write about that Samson got distracted. Solomon's entire life is written in the book of Ecclesiastes in hindsight, and he's looking back saying, my whole life was spent with this wisdom, and I did nothing with it. And now I'm stuck with this wisdom, and I know that my life was lived in vain, and it was vanity. And it's not until the end of his life that he actually does something with the wisdom that God gave him. People will say this, Samson, that was God's plan, because Samson, he shows us that we can fail. And then God used him to do more in his death than he did in his life. True, God can use us, God does great. But let me tell you something, God could have done more with the Samson that had stayed committed. God would have done more if Samson lived to fight another army. He would have done more if he would have lived to rip apart another lion. He would have done more if he hadn't died that day. He would have continued to do exploits for God. And he would have accomplished more. God showed, I can use you again. You're never too far, but you will never get back what you're distracted from doing. Solomon wrote some awesome truths, and we're allowed to live with that wisdom. But Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, God imparted wisdom, should have left Israel in better shape than he was handed it. But he was handed a kingdom with no enemies. He was handed a kingdom at its peak. David had defeated all of them. David was the conqueror. The borders have never, ever reached David's borders since. Solomon was handed this, and Solomon handed over a civil war. Solomon handed over a divided kingdom. Just because God does something through you or through us doesn't mean that we are faithful. Doesn't mean that we are doing the things that God has called us to. Come play something or I'll just keep rambling. Doesn't mean that he's called us to do, that we're doing what he's called us to do faithfully. This is a trust. God wants to trust this church with exploits. God wants to trust this church with anointing. God wants to trust this church with divine. But if you think you can live the way you want to and show up here on a Sunday and watch God do something through you supernaturally, you are distracted and you are mistaken, and you are going to find yourself looking back at what might have been. But if you are committed to the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you are committed to this kind, you are going to commit your life to prayer and fasting. We have to build this on the plan. We have to build this on what works. And we have to understand the onus is not on us coming with expectation, coming with great faith. The onus is on us on Monday, 7 days before, saying, God, I'm going to find a place of prayer, and I'm going to connect with you, and I'm going to pray that God does something on Sunday. I'm going to pray that God does something in my Bible study. I'm going to fast, and I'm going to sacrifice this flesh because I can't afford to get distracted. I can't afford to look at some. I don't want to be worldly. I seek ye first his kingdom. See, we stop there, don't we? Preachers stop there. Saints stop there. He said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's the way to approval of God. I just read it on the way over here. That's what it means. It's the way to get God's approval. It's correctness. It's rightness. It's doing things the right way. When God said, seek ye first the kingdom, he didn't say, just be a part of the kingdom, man. Just show up and greet. Just show up and make sure you're friendly. Make sure you move chairs. Make sure you're part of the setup team. Make sure. He said, no, I want you to seek my ways. I want you to seek godliness. I want you to get some things out of your life. I want you to say, hey, God, how can I be more righteous today? Not self-righteous, but how can I be more righteous? It's a humbling thing to try to let God make you righteous. Because God's going to point some things out, and you're going to say, really? That's how I feel about this? I really have an issue with this? This shouldn't be an issue for me. Four weeks we've dedicated ourselves to prayer and fasting, and I'm telling you, man, I did good. I did good. Someday I won't even talk about my prayer and fasting, but because I'm working on it, I think I might help somebody if I tell somebody about my experience trying to pray and fast more. We did good, man. We fasted. We made our kids fast. We did good. 1 week ago, that came to an end, and I done backslid this week. I've been reading. I've read 14 books since Christmas. It's just a new commitment that I've made. And you know what? I don't think every book has to be some epiphany. So I thought, man, I need a distraction. I need to just read something that's fiction. So I did. That's necessarily a bad thing. But that's all I read this week. I didn't read anything of value. I didn't fast this week. I've done backslid. I'm fighting battles that I haven't fought for a month. Because it's not enough to seek his kingdom. I got to seek his righteousness. I got to get rid of the debris so that he can work in my life. Moses was a foster child. Abraham didn't have any place to live. Don't use the excuse that God can't use you because of what you're going through or what you have been through. God wants to make you super. God wants to use you and anoint you. God wants you to lay hands on the sick and they recover. But don't you dare make it about that sign. Make it about faith and let the sign come when it comes. And this church will turn this city upside down. I can say it with confidence because it's not dependent upon me. It's not dependent upon you. If this church aligns itself with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, can I say this without arrogance? It is not fair to any other church in this community if this church aligns itself with the Holy Spirit. And don't you dare get arrogant enough to think that some other church can't align themselves with the Holy Spirit. But if we do, something super is about to happen. Something amazing is about to happen. Let's stand. I want you to leave with a word picture. Family Apostolic, you can fly. You can put on the cape and you can fly. You can do it. You can reach this community. You can. And we can worry about all the good things, and man, we want to make it look right, and we're worried about what other people see. Get your eyes off that. Get your face in the carpet and ask God to reach somebody in this community. Ask God to put somebody's life. There is somebody in this city that is hurting, and they're saying, there's no hope for me. There's no way out of the environment that I'm in. There's no way that I can turn the corner and get my life pointed in a better direction. And they are desperately seeking you and your answer that God has given you. Jesus, in your name, I'm asking you today. I don't always feel super, God, but I believe you're wanting to do something super. God, I know that this is an interesting time. It's a great time, but it's an infant time. There's things we're still trying out. There's things we're still learning how to do. God, we're still going to have to learn how to grow up. We're still going to have to learn how to walk before we can run. We're going to have to crawl, and we're going to have to figure this thing out, God. There's going to be days when the nutrients we need aren't going to be found in the Cheerios that you spread across our table. God, but I'm telling you, God, if we can grab a hold of this, God, if we can seek the anointing, if we can seek his kingdom like we never have before, if we can walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, it's not going to be because we have great music. It's not going to be because Brother Scott preaches the greatest sermons. It's not going to be because of that. It's going to be because somebody prayed and somebody else was seeking, and somebody's going to walk in that back door and say, I saw your orange sign on the street, and I just wondered what was going on in here. And if there was something drew me into this place, and I don't know what it was, but I needed to hear what you guys said today. I needed to feel what I felt when you begin to sing and lift up the Lord in the Holy Ghost and under the anointing. I don't know what I feel in this place, but I don't feel it in other places. I haven't been able to find a reservoir of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks the yoke that has shackled my life like I feel when I walk into this room, when I walk into this place. God, let your anointing rest on these people, God. Let your anointing rest on them, God. But don't, I'm asking you not to give it to them just because. I'm asking you to build a lifestyle of prayer and fasting in every home that represents Family Apostolic Church. I'm asking you to build individual prayer lives in every person, every man, every woman, and every young person at Family Apostolic. I'm asking you, God, to put a lifestyle of sacrifice and fasting in every individual. Make it part of who we are, not a part of what we do, not a part of our duty unto you, not because we want to see a sign. Make it part of our relationship with you. God, I don't want my flesh to get in the way. I don't want my flesh to get me distracted. I don't want my flesh to take away from the gifts that you have called me unto. I want to walk in the anointing. I want to walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. I know that I have to repent daily. I know that I have to seek your face. God, help us to build this in this church, God. God, we can set up and put these chairs in place and set the music up so it sounds right and it sounds good, God. But if we don't prepare our hearts before we get into this service, God, every service that we have here, we've got to take time and we got to set up some things in our heart. We got to prepare some things in our minds that we can operate into the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It has to be about prayer and fasting, because we don't want that kind of church. We want this kind of church. We want a church that does exploits. We want a church that doesn't get distracted over the silly things. We want a church that keeps its eye on the prize and seeks the kingdom of God, seeks righteousness. God, get the unrighteousness out of my life. Whatever I'm watching, listening to, talking to, being friends with that is unrighteous, God, help me find another path. Help me replace those habits with good habits, God. Help me be godly in everything that I do. Help me be godly in my speech. Help me be godly in my thoughts. Help me be godly. Help my home be a godly home. Let my home not be exposed to ungodly godliness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I challenge you to come to this altar today, not for a moment, but for a lifestyle, to make a commitment to God, that he would do something in your life that would change you. Not your circumstances nearly as much as changing you. I believe the signs will follow. But this is about you being faithful to what he wants to trust you with. This is about you seeking something greater than the miracle, but seeking the God of the miracle. God, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to make sure that I'm aligned properly with you. I challenge you to come to the front, just as an outward sign that, hey, I need God to step in and align my life. I need him to make sure that I'm not going astray. I want to stay focused on him. I want to stay straight. I need it for my own life, God, but I'm hearing something today that us reaching this city is dependent upon that. I'm not going to walk away from this altar perfect, God, but I'm going to walk away from it a vessel that can be used by you. I'm not going to walk away from it and never sin again, but I'm going to walk away from it intending to never sin again. God, and you're going to use me, God, because I'm your child. I should be regarded as somebody who has been entrusted with the great mysteries of God. I should be regarded as somebody that holds the power of healing in a city of sick people. I should be regarded as somebody that holds the anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks the bondage that this city is in. I should be regarded as somebody that can speak life into death, and miracles take place in people's circumstances and situations. It is who I am, God, but I got to be faithful. I got to be faithful. I got to be faithful unto you. I got to do what you've asked me to do. I got to lay aside what you've asked me to lay aside. I've got to be what you've asked me to be, God. In the name of Jesus, it is not about me. It's about you. It is about them. God, align me with that. Align me with your kingdom, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.